On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John go to the tomb where the body of Jesus was laid. They see the empty tomb, and they have different reactions. Let us consider their reactions to the empty tomb and seek to encounter the risen Christ ourselves as we study this passage together today. Bishop John Berdowski wrote, "In the same way that the Eucharist is not simply a memorial retelling of a story about Jesus, but Jesus' true presence in the bread and wine of communion, so we must also confess that Easter is not simply the retelling of a story about Jesus, but that he is the resurrection. Jesus is also the life." Dear friends, the gospel writer John writes that the three important components of the Easter story are the empty tomb, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, and this passage includes all three. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all the blessings of this life. We thank you for your unfailing love. We thank you for your Son, our Savior and Lord. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to encounter your Son, Jesus, the risen Christ, and to worship him with gladness and singleness of heart. Amen. So the passage begins with verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Mary goes to the tomb to tend to Jesus' dead body, but instead she finds that the stone has been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Mary runs to find Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, who is John, the writer of this gospel. Peter and John are leaders of the early church. Mary interprets the removal of the stone as evidence that someone has stolen or moved the body of Jesus. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. The linen wrappings that were put on Jesus when he was placed in the tomb are lying in the tomb without the dead body. It is unlikely that the body of Jesus was stolen or moved to a different burial location without the linen cloths. And there are two witnesses who see this, and that's important because that is used as evidence that something has happened. And that was the Jewish tradition, is when you have two witnesses, then that would be true. What is the significance of the linen cloth that covered Jesus' head being folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings? This is actually an important detail because it reminds us of when Jesus' friend Lazarus was dead and buried. Jesus called to Lazarus, who responded to Jesus calling him by emerging from the tomb. But he needed help to have the burial linen cloths removed from his head. Lazarus was dependent upon Jesus not only for his resurrection, but also to have this cloth removed. In chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, Lazarus has died, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were grieving. Jesus goes to them, and Mary and Martha are deeply concerned, and Martha confronts Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus responded, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha tells Jesus that she believes in the resurrection on the last day as a final and distant hope. This was a Jewish belief that most Jewish believers held. Jesus proclaims to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus asks Martha, do you believe this? Martha responds with a profound confession of faith. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And what is so amazing about this is that Martha discerns this before Jesus has died and been resurrected. Martha already sees, you are the Christ. So let us embrace this truth with Martha and proclaim, Jesus is Lord, the Christ, the Son of God. Let us affirm that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let us trust Jesus when he promises, whoever believes in him shall live and never die. This is resurrection, dear friends, that Jesus offers us. The passage continues with verse 8. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. John saw and believed. Yet he does not disclose what he believed. And again, he's the gospel writer, so he's keeping us in a bit of suspense here. Did he believe that Jesus conquered death, which Jesus told the disciples he would do? Did he believe that Jesus went to be with the Father, which Jesus also told the disciples he would do? Jesus did conquer death and so much more, dear friends. In verse 10 it says, then they went home. Peter and John went home, amazed and probably pondering the meaning of the empty tomb. As we encounter the empty tomb, do we allow it to change us? Do we understand that Jesus conquered death? Or will we simply go home today unchanged? Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Mary continues to weep, thinking that the body of Jesus has been moved. Peter and John have left her at the tomb. When Mary finally looks into the tomb, she sees angels. Angels are usually messengers of God. But these angels don't give her a direct message. Rather, they simply ask her a question. Why is she crying? She responds, because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. Mary continues to believe that Jesus has been moved, despite seeing the angels. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Mary didn't recognize the risen Christ. But the disciples also did not recognize the risen Christ in other appearance stories in the Gospel of John and also in the Gospel of Luke. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? This question, who are you looking for, is the same question Jesus posed to the disciple Andrew in the first chapter of the Gospel of John when Andrew was called to follow Jesus. It is a deep question. It means, who do you seek? What do you seek? Especially on Easter Sunday, let us remember that we seek the Lord our God. We seek to have a deep personal relationship with God. She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Jesus calls her by her name. Jesus calls us by our names. The Lord, the risen Christ, knows each of us by our name and calls us. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. When Jesus calls her by her name, then Mary recognizes Jesus. Jesus has described himself as the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Mary, part of Jesus' flock, knows his voice. We are also part of Jesus' flock. Let us follow Jesus. Dear friends, in this hectic, noisy world, let us take time to be still, to be quiet, so that we can also hear the voice of our Good Shepherd. Mary calls Jesus Rabboni. Now, this means my teacher, and it's a personal address, and it is the one that the disciples used. It affirms that Mary was a student of Jesus. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go, find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus gives Mary a command to go tell the disciples that he is risen and will ascend to the Father. By referring to the disciples as brothers, Jesus is affirming that they are family. He has created a new family of believers. The promise to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God in John chapter 1, verse 12, is now fulfilled. And we proclaim that every Sunday at the beginning of worship, that we are the children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus' message, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God," confirms that God is the disciples' Father too. Jesus has extended his relationship with God the Father to them and to us too. Jesus had told the disciples that he would ascend to the Father and they would be with God the Father. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." Jesus must ascend to fulfill the promise that he prepares a place for us and our loved ones who believe. Our loved ones who have passed, who believe, are with Jesus in paradise because Jesus ascended as he promised. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. Mary proclaims Christ's resurrection to the disciples, and she announces Jesus' message. May we also proclaim that Jesus is risen and that we have encountered the risen Christ and that God is our God and our Father. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us to encounter the risen Christ. We ask that you help us to listen to the voice of our Good Shepherd. May we proclaim that Jesus is risen to others, and may we trust Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and live abundantly trusting in God. Amen.